Hello, and here we are again for a little chat as we go for a walk up the hill in Devonshire countryside. It is about the 12th of October, on a Tuesday, as I'm marching up the hill, and the sun is shining, and for once, there's hardly a breeze, so hopefully we won't get wind noise on the microphone. And, up we go. So, back to the routine of writing the novel now, having sent off my short story for an anthology. We'll see if it gets in. And at some point, whether it gets in or not, it'll be released to everybody. Because if it doesn't get in, I'll release it. And if it does get in, after a while, I think I get the rights back after so many months and I can release it as well. So I'll let you know what happens. I decided to call it Alone in Front of the Mirror because the anthology name was Mirror, Mirror. That was kind of the theme. And I looked around for titles and looking at quotes and things involving mirrors and reflections, and I found one that seemed to fit the quite dark story, and it was Charles Bukowski. If I'm pronouncing that correctly, I'm not sure. I don't know a huge amount about, but I have sort of seen some footage about him, you know, and about his strange and interesting career as a writer. And this quote, he said something like, "I've often stood alone in front of the mirror, wondering how ugly a person could get, or how ugly a person could be," I think. So yeah, it kind of seemed to fit the dark tone of the story. And there's kind of references in there that tie in as well. So yeah, I'll let you know what happens with the story. What I'm thinking of doing, because I've got quite a lot of books in different genres, and some are on some stores, you know, on all the stores, and some aren't. It's just a question of time, really. And spending the time on these kind of publishing tasks when what we all really want me to do is to get on with writing the next book. But, you know, it's just me. I've got to take care of all these things. That's one of the downsides of being an indie publisher. I mean, I could try hiring somebody to do some of the things, but then you kind of want things done in a certain way and you want to make sure they're all okay. So, yeah, at the moment I do these things. And also it'd be expensive to hire somebody, which, you know, is not really doable at the moment. So, yeah, I was thinking anyway of certainly rolling some of the horror stuff into one, because there's a couple of separate short stories out there as well as a dark assortment. And then there's an anthology, called it the Short Horror Collection. We'll say an anthology. It's like a omnibus edition of the After Dark, Once in a Blood Moon, and a Dark Assortment together. And I was thinking of just sort of rolling all that together when I'm able to publish this new story as well. So that'll kind of give a bit of extra value. And roll them together, maybe put a new title and so on. Yeah, because it's funny. I mean, I had an email the other day, which I must reply to soon. Somebody who has sort of found me through science fiction. I kind of feel a bit sorry for those folks. I feel a bit like you know, I don't want to kind of let people down, but much as I love science fiction and writing in other genres, the mysteries and the Devonshire mysteries really are the only thing that kind of keeps the lights on at the moment. So I never say never, but yeah, this person was emailing me and saying nice things about the Brent Bolster books, and you know, some people have enjoyed them and found them, and And that's lovely. At one point I thought that was going to be a really big thing, and I didn't seem to be able to kind of find the audience for those books. Come on, Lottie. Oh, because my famous last words is now a breeze springing up. And a few leaves are fluttering down off this rather nice old oak tree up here. And there's a few leaves fluttering down in the sunshine, which is rather amazing. Anyway, sorry about the wind noise. It always seems to get me up here. Okay, so yeah, so, you know, will I ever do any of these other things again? I mean, there are a sort of select number of people who might have really liked the Darkningstown trilogy, say, which is kind of four books if you include the prequel, but a trilogy of novels plus a prequel. And, you know, that was my first novel, and I can't see that going anywhere further. I did have an idea at the beginning that, you know, you could go on with it and have all different periods of history, but I think that would be forcing it a bit. I think that's done. You know, I would like more people to be able to find that, because I do think it's got something worth reading, although it's doesn't fit it neatly into a genre. Then there's the Download Trust books. There's Cheat Code and the Trust. And at the time setting out writing that, I really thought that was going to be, you know, 6-7 books. And did find a bit of an audience at first. I think there was, by coincidence, there was this movement of lit RPG people coming along. Perhaps not right to call it a movement, but a popular sort of subgenre of sci-fi. These things have diversified even further into various kinds of game lit and so on. I had no idea of those things at the time. I may have told this before, but it was based on the idea of a fairy tale. A group of us got together and formed the Collective Sci-Fi. People I just met virtually rather than online. Most of them were overseas. And, you know, from my perspective anyway. and we had an idea we'd do a collection of stories based on fairy tales, or retellings, or reimaginings even of them. And so I took one of them, what's it called, the silver, I always get this wrong, snuff box or tinder box, I can't remember. Anyway, that idea, come on, sorry, just talking to Lottie, and thought, what could I have instead of magic and witches and so on? And I thought, well, you know, the idea of technology is the new magic. So I wanted to write a book that was set in virtual reality, and where the action kind of happened in virtual reality. And there's, I got quite interested in the idea of the idea of identity, about how people's identities online can be very different from their real identities, how people might use that to hide and so on. And made quite a sort of jolly little tale out of that, and I wanted to carry that on. I had more ideas, but again, it's one of those things, I don't know if it really kind of found its audience and made it goable. And I often think I would like to get back to those, because two books just seems a bit short-changing people, but we'll see. I enjoy writing them, I like the characters, but yeah, I don't know about that. And then later on, you know, I've always liked kind of making people laugh, and very silly sort of jokey things, and combine kind of my love of sort of noir type films and sci-fi to make a futuristic space detective. type series, and that was doing okay for a bit, and that's, you know, what somebody said they would like some more. And I have to say, I really had a lot of fun writing those, so, you know, I definitely wouldn't say never. As a break from doing other things, it could be worthwhile. But I was once at a writer's conference in London, and you know, the first question the writers ask each other is, what do you write? And I've sort of got a bit of a long answer because I've got all these different things. And everybody, you know, when if you tell them you do some comedy, everybody kind of sucks air over their teeth and says, oh, hard sell is comedy. And for some reason, it does seem to be in terms of fiction. I think humour is quite a subjective thing. And it's one of those things people can argue about. But it's a great thing because it's, you're entertaining people and making them laugh. That's wonderful. And also it makes me laugh as well a bit, you know, when I was writing them. By the way, if you hear those strange sort of thud noises, it's just me kicking a ball along for Lottie as I go. So she's very keen on that. You might hear her puffing and panting. It's quieter if I throw it for her. There you go, go on. Grass is getting longer now. It doesn't roll very far, does it, Lottie? Throw it a bit high, won't we? Which is hard when I'm recording at the same time. Anyway. So at the moment, I would say kind of don't hold your breath if you were waiting for some of the other genres, I'm afraid. I wouldn't say never, and who knows? I might suddenly get a rush of blood to the head and have ideas. Because I really did like writing about Raw Geeb and Brent and all those other characters. And it was quite a bit of fun. Quite hard to get back into, actually, because there's a whole kind of universe there of things that you've got to get right to make it consistent. And also, to make sure I didn't repeat all the jokes, which is a danger of doing. We shall see. I don't rule anything out, I mean, I might... Gosh, there's a lot of dogs barking down in the village. I can hear them from right up here. Going mad. You might be able to hear them. Here you go, Lottie. Lottie doesn't bark. That's why you don't hear her. She can, but she doesn't. Because she's just happy and relaxed and chilled out. She's a chilled out dog. Aren't you? Come on. Some really nice blackberries on this bush here, just as a digression. Which I might just have to pick a couple of as I go. So the wild ones are small and very sweet. Especially if you kind of get lucky and get a nice one that's been in the sunshine. Mmm. And one of the things on this walk that I look forward to at this time of year. Just stopping for a little blackberry. I don't know what Lottie thinks I'm doing, but... Come on then, bring the ball back. Come on. I'm actually roasting now, the sun is so hot. Mmm. In other plans, you know, apart from getting that next novel out, the sort of urge I had to do a police one hasn't exactly gone away, but you'll find when we get to this new one, the latest Devonshire mystery, there is a bit more police involvement. So there's Spiller and Collins getting into their own a bit, and bringing back a character from one of the earlier books, which I won't spoil. It's not, I don't think, police heavy. It's still... still the amateur sleuth, it's still Dan, and who's at the heart of it, along with Alan, of course. And the characters are very much important in it. and things are moving on in their lives, as you would hope, because I think if they're the same, it gets a bit boring. You know, you could look at some of the great popular books of in this genre and other genres and say, well, these really popular, well-known characters, they don't really develop. So, you know, I think Sherlock Holmes stays pretty much the same throughout. I think Miss Marple and Poirot don't really develop. People always talk about James Bond. He doesn't really develop either. I probably won't bother going to see the latest film. I skipped the last one, and the one before that, I think I almost fell asleep during it. Great fun when you were a kid, I think, but I've rather lost me in the silliness of them. I prefer my spy stories to be proper spy stories, because I do like a good bit of spy, bit of espionage fiction or film. I'm much more of a John le Carre type fan than James Bond. So, yeah, digressing a bit there. But yes, I think I want these characters to develop, and I think that's a consistent thing throughout the books. I think that's one of the things that people like. It was always kind of there. This idea of the friendship between the two men is something I was interested in, something that's meant a lot to me in my life. I'm lucky enough to have had and still have some very good friends. And that's, you know, a very important thing. One person was a bit vexing in one of the... I don't always look at reviews. Sometimes I look and I see some really nice ones. I'm really grateful for those because they just kind of make my day, really. But somebody sort of categorised it as a bromance or something. I just thought, it's not really fair. It's really quite a biased thing to say. Problem with people writing reviews for books is that they tend to take on airs and graces as though they're writing for the Times Literary Supplement or something, and they're trying to show off their high school kind of book report writing skills. And yeah, you know, don't do that, it just makes you look silly, would be my message. We all feel that temptation sometimes. We all have a lot of us have the temptation to become a bit pompous at times, I think. I think that's just as a sideline, one of my favourite things about Frasier, which loads of people loved, of course, and they talk about making another one, which I'm not sure is a good idea. I think it was great, but anyway, if they could pull it off, that would be interesting. But his pomposity that he managed to maintain, that was absolutely wonderful. Kelsey Grammer and whoever it is, the guy who does Niles, I've forgotten his name, damn it. Anyway, yes. And I think that was partly funny because we recognise those things in ourselves, you know. We recognise that tendency we have to... Oh, sorry, just kick the ball on it. Lottie keeps getting in front of it. That one rather sort of clipped you, didn't it, poor old thing? Yeah. She gets in front of it with remarkable accuracy when I kick it. And then sometimes it manages to... Not a very hard ball, but it did sort of clip her with a jump. Poor thing, good girl. She's having a lovely time running about like mad in the sunshine. One of her favourite things, get her home for a drink and a treat. We've got to the end of the walk, really. Come here, Lots. Good girl. I was thinking about just sort of going back full circle. I don't know how many people listening to this will have read any of the Brent Bolster books, but he is, of course, rather a bit like Frasier. He's a foolish character who doesn't know he's foolish. He's a bit pompous in his own kind of way. And, of course, Roar Geeb, the rather officious alien, is very pompous. Um, So perhaps I was influenced that by Fraser, I don't know. I won't be surprised. Right, I am about to start walking down the lane. So to avoid being run over, I will stop recording for the moment. Thanks very much for listening. And thank you very much for support and encouragement, emails and so on, comments on the website. Big thank you to anyone who's supported me on Ko-fi.com. That's all adding up very nicely. It's really kind of people. It all helps to defray some of the costs, you know, things like editors and so on, and hosting the website, that kind of thing, and hosting the podcast as well, which costs so much each month. Anyway, thanks very much. Look after yourselves. Take care. Happy reading, and I'll talk to you again soon. Bye.